The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We started looking last time at a quote by George Wald. He is getting around toward a comment here about the idea of the spontaneous generation of elements. For those of you that may be new to the program, we have been looking at a series of gaps between nothing and something, gaps between energy and matter, gaps between energy and atoms, and it is in that context that the program today is presenting information about. I had made the comment last time that that biogenesis is probably the law of biology in which we can have most confidence, because there has never been any exception to that law that we have found in any area of science. And yet it is necessary to disregard that if you're trying to provide an evolutionary explanation for things. Now, let me go back and read the sentences that we have just read. This is taken from an article that appeared in a textbook, Biological Science and Inquiry into Life, that was published back in 1963. Quote, "If life comes only from life, does this mean that there was always life on the earth? It must. Yet we know that this cannot be so. We know that the world was once without life, that life appeared later. How? We think it was by spontaneous generation." And I was in the process of commenting about that idea when our time ran out on the last program. I don't believe, I'm sure there are some few exceptions. Most evolutionists, I think, probably would not be real excited about trying to demonstrate or defend the idea of spontaneous generation. And yet, if a person has rejected the idea of God as creator, then the only, I hate to use the word reasonable, but the only plausible answer would have to be some kind of spontaneous generation. And so this is the reason that Wald has gotten himself to that point. Now let me continue with the comments that he made in that textbook. Quote, "In this strange paper, this is not the book. The quote I'm giving you now, it came from an article entitled Fitness in the Universe, Choices and Necessities, and it appeared in Origins of Life back in 1974, George Wald. Quote, "In this strange paper, I have ventured to suggest that natural selection of a sort has extended even beyond the elements." Now, I want you to give some thought to that. We spent several programs talking about natural selection, and I tried to demonstrate that natural selection is nothing real. It is not any entity that sits somewhere and watches organisms in a population and decides this one is going to die, that one is going to live. It is simply a choice by an individual who has rejected God as creator and then begins to look around in our world, our universe, and see all the order and pattern and realize that matter and motion and force are not going to provide order and complexity. So there has to be then some kind of a replacement for the God of creation. And the force, to go to Star Wars, is a possibility, or Mother Nature, or a cosmic mind, or natural selection. The reason for my taking time with this quote is that he is extending natural selection, which usually is thought to be restricted to living things, even back beyond that. And it's interesting to me to note that Darwin did the same thing, as we'll talk about in a few minutes. "In this strange paper, I have ventured to suggest that natural selection of a sort has extended even beyond the elements to determine the properties of protons and electrons." Now let that soak in a minute. We're talking here about matter. And Wall is suggesting that natural selection extends down to the level of subatomic particles. Now, I don't know how you strike this. I'm not intending to make an unnecessarily derogatory comment, but this kind of thing is pure nonsense. It's not even good philosophy. curious as it seems, it is a possibility worth weighing against the only alternative I can imagine, Eddington's suggestion that God is a mathematical physicist. That's the end of a sentence. Let me comment. This is simply Wall's own statement substantiating the comment I made. The only reason that he would get to this, in his mind, nonsensical position is that it is the only option open if a person has chosen to reject God as creator. And that, of course, is precisely the position that Wall finds himself in. The only other choice is, the only apart from creation, is to think of spontaneous generation, of natural selection that is existing down at the level of subatomic particles. Now let's continue the comment. It is the old biological problem of supernatural creation as against spontaneous, that is, natural generation, carried back somewhat. Yeah, it's carried back somewhat. That's right, because we normally do not think of spontaneous generation except involving living things. Back of the spontaneous generation of life, under other conditions than now obtained upon this planet, there occurred a spontaneous generation of elements of the kind that still goes on in the stars. I cannot refrain from stopping here and observing this statement is not a scientific statement. If it happened on the Earth, and in my opinion it did not happen on the Earth, but if it did, it occurred at a time we can't have any scientific information about it. And if it is going on in the stars presently, we don't have any information that would suggest the possibility of it. It is a conclusion that a person arrives at on a basis entirely removed from scientific. Well, let me read the whole sentence so I cannot be accused of not reading his comments correctly. It is the old biological problem of spontaneous creation as against spontaneous, that is, natural generation, carried back somewhat. Back of the spontaneous generation of life under other conditions than now obtained upon this planet, there occurred a spontaneous generation of elements of the kind that still goes on in the stars. And back of that, I suppose, a spontaneous generation of elementary particles under circumstances still to be fathomed that ended in giving them the properties that alone make possible the universe we know. Now, these statements are made without any equivocation. It is not as though there is a question about it or that in his mind this is a theory. His statement says this is the way it happened. I try to caution my students regularly to spot this kind of thing. My comment again, you can believe whatever you want to about this, but don't try and pass off what is in fact a speculation as though it were science. And this is the context in which that is exactly the kind of thing that is happening. Now, problematic as natural selection is in living things, it goes far beyond problematic to impossible and absurd when it is applied to the level of atoms and pre-atomic particles, as Wald has just done here. I mentioned a while ago that it was interesting to me to find that Darwin had done the same thing. If you will take the trouble to read Origin of the Species, and it is an exercise in perseverance, believe me, I've suggested before that if you have trouble sleeping at night, I have an immensely helpful suggestion. You put a copy of Darwin's Origin of the Species on the nightstand beside your bed, and when you get ready to go to bed, you pick up that book and start reading. And if you can get through a page or two, more than a page or two of it, without dozing off, you are very, very different. But in that book, Darwin has a discussion in which he is talking about the idea of carbon dioxide molecules competing with one another in order to be incorporated into the photosynthetic process. Now, when you talk about a struggle existing in molecules, then you need to understand what is being talked about. This is taking a view of life very different from the position that even non-creationists would take. We can argue, as we did earlier, over the idea of struggle for existence, and among other things, discovering that struggle really doesn't improve a species. But Darwin is using that to extend back beyond the level of life to the level of molecules, and Wald is going him one better by going from there back to the level of subatomic particles and arguing that natural selection is going to be occurring even at that level. Now, again, I'm saying this is not science. There is not the slightest shred of evidence in any form of science that would suggest that this is a real possibility. Now, I haven't talked to Wald. I don't know whether he was serious about this. I assume he was, if he's going to put it into an article that appeared in a reasonably technical journal. But at any rate, we are left with his comments, not his thoughts about this. So, the reason I discuss this on the program, it is an unreasonable, my opinion goes far beyond unreasonable. It is a highly unlikely, I think absurd is not too strong a word, an absurd idea. Why would an intelligent person get himself to the position of even giving the appearance of entertaining that? Well, it is simply because of his complete antipathy toward the idea of God as creator, an antipathy which would cause him to take a position which is foolish. But he will adopt that which is foolish in opposition to being willing to accept the idea of a God and a creator God and a creator to whom he, as a creature, is going to find himself in submission one day. I had the opportunity some years ago in a debate I was having of reminding my opponent that there would be a time when my knee and his knee and the knee of every other person in the world would bow to the Lord of creation. There will be a time when George Wald will acknowledge that, and he will certainly see at that point the foolishness of trying to argue that inanimate matter exhibits characteristics of living things. And it is difficult for me to conceive of a more nonsensical position for an intelligent person to get himself into than this idea.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.